Good morning, good morning. Make sure online can hear. All right, here we go. We want to first thank the brothers for leading us this morning in the elements of our worship. I want to first also thank Rick for such a thorough prayer and definitely touched on so many people that are sick, that are hurting, and I just wanted to add a couple more names. I was going to ask for a couple prayers, but he prayed for everyone he asked for, and you've covered what I was going to say also. This morning, I did get a text from Mark Bracefield saying that Chelsea was admitted to the hospital. She was having some high blood pressure and some other issues. So, you know, they just had a baby. So just keep her in your prayers. Keep them in our prayers, and let's pray that God will be able to help, and the doctors will be able to help them in their needs. There was something. You got Marlon. Marlon is still recovering from his surgery, so just keep him in our prayers also. And I believe Rick already mentioned that. This morning, it's been a while since I started a sermon series, and I want to start this one called Living an Emotionally Healthy Life. And we're going to be looking at certain topics. Today we're going to be looking at the importance of emotional health for our spiritual growth. We're going to look next week at the roadblocks to emotional health. Then we're going to look at the path to emotional health, and then the fruit of emotional health. You know, one of the things I recognize, and you know, if you think about the Bible, you know, I'm only going to do what I'm only going to perform as well as I'm feeling, right? I'm only going to perform as well as I'm feeling. And I go back to the Bible and I think of some of the Bible greats like Elijah. Elijah was a great, great prophet of God. And you remember that great situation he had on Mount Carmel. And then after they defeated the false prophets, then what do we see him doing? Running. He heard Jezebel wanted his head, and he took off into the wilderness alone. You see a man that just, I mean, powerfully was able to demonstrate and declare that Jehovah God is a true and living God on Mount Carmel. Did it. And it just seems like moments later, he's running, he's hiding in the wilderness, he's depressed. He he's spent. He's spent. You're only going to perform as well as you feel. And so this is so important to us living out our Christianity, to our spiritual health, talking about this top topic. And so I pray that it will be a blessing as we look at it for the next 4 weeks. I pray that it challenges us that we all grow as a result of it. I just ask, let's petition the Lord for this very series, sermon series. Father in heaven, help us, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we were reminded already by the two brothers that led the Lord's table of the great sacrifice that you made for us, the way in which you loved us, demonstrated that love to each and every one of us. And Lord, I just want I know there's some out there that sometimes don't know and don't feel it, are still struggling with even accepting your love for various different reasons. And I just pray that we might receive your love, that we might recognize that we're receiving your love, and as we recognize receiving your love, that we might give that love back to you and back to others and back to ourselves. Help us. Bless us. Guide our efforts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And I like the CSB, the Coleman Standard Bible, it says, guard your heart for above all else, for it is the source of life. Springs the issues of life. It is the source of life. Our heart. Our heart isn't this beating organ in our chest when we read in the Bible, unless the context is talking about that. Usually the heart is meant to represent our mind. Our mind. And the reason is because everything we do, wherever we drive, wherever we go, it's first a decision we make. It's our mind that leads and drives us to whatever we do. And it happens even in our physical bodies, right? I mean, every action we make, at first there's a signal sent by our mind. And even though I don't know it, my mind is sending a whole bunch of signals right now. And so is yours, even sitting there like you are, right? And in the scripture is telling us, look, here, this is life. This is the source of life. It starts right here in our heart. I know I keep hitting here. I still start hitting here. I start hitting here, but I think we're so ingrained to think it's here. Or maybe it's both. It's the heart-mind connection. But nevertheless, he's sharing the importance of keeping your heart, of understanding how to manage your emotions, of understanding how to follow God's lead, understanding how to put some barriers around ourselves so that the good stays in and the bad doesn't come in. You know, keep your heart. Keep your heart. We'll talk about that more as the series goes on. But our focus today is Psalm 139, 23 and 24. David writes, search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. David's asking God to search him, search my heart. Reveal any hidden sins and emotion within me. And it's kind of strange because sometimes what we don't want to do is allow people, well, I know God's not just regular people, but, you know, we don't want people to really know the real us. And sometimes even God, we don't want him to know the real us. We can't stop him. We can't stop him from knowing because he knows. But if you understand what I mean, I'm saying, we like to be private people, and I'd rather have my business kept right here with me. Right? And David is saying, I'm an open book, Lord. I'm an open book. Search me, and not only search me just so I can know, search me so I can do better. You know, James talks about a man looking into the mirror and beholding and seeing a defect and walking away as if he didn't even see what he saw. A man looking into this perfect law of liberty, and he looks and he glances away and he forgets everything he saw when he looked inside the mirror. What's our objective is that we might want to be growing and striving to grow and develop to be the men of God, men and women of God would desire us to be. And yet, in order for that process to happen, there has to be assessment, there has to be self-assessment, there has to be us looking into God's word and seeing, first of all, what's the direction, what's the way? You know, the brother was sharing from the Psalms today, and Lord, your word is a lamp. It lights up my way. And what I need to do is follow that path and not steer to the left or to the right, but continue following after. David's saying, look, I want you to look at the real me. Not only do I want you to look at the real me, I want you to help me see the real me. That's scary. That's scary sometimes, to see the real me. Sometimes I run from me. Sometimes I run from seeing the real me. One of the things about Christianity I've seen that's changed, I think we've gotten away from certain things that are so necessary still. We've come formalized you know, and structured things and all of that. And sometimes we lose a little bit of the essence when we're trying to build things. And over the centuries of coming, now Christianity today looks very different than probably would have looked first, second century and up at other times. But one of the things, one of the elements that I noticed that we don't practice a lot anymore are some of the disciplines, contemplation, solitude, fasting, prayer. You know, some of these things that sometimes we attribute these things to Eastern religions, things of that nature, but they're just as much a part of the Bible as there are anything else. Jesus, God has a lot to say about our spiritual health, and we're gonna be looking at that within the next few weeks. But God desires that we know ourselves and that we are able to see ourselves and we are able to self or assess ourselves based upon his scripture, the standard of the scripture, obviously, but that we're able to assess it and we're able to look in the mirror, as James talked, saying, look in the mirror. What are you looking in the mirror for? What's the purpose? To make sure you're presentable, right? To take care of any defects, any imperfections. And this morning I was in this big mirror my wife just bought. The thing stands up about this high, probably about 7 feet. It's only about a feet above me. So, all right. Y'all didn't catch that. Okay, all right. Amen. But I was in that, man, for the first time I saw all straight up and down. So I was able to look in that mirror and take off a couple things and all that. And but really, I didn't do too much because I think it was pretty good when I got to the mirror. But that's the whole purpose of it. And sometimes we forget to stop, slow down, contemplate, think, just be in the presence of God. Be in his presence. And sometimes some of the simple things, even like meditation, we overlook them as if they're no good. It's like, it's almost a time waster sometimes. What are you wasting your time just sitting in solitude, not doing nothing? We got to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a doer. I like to do. I like to get done. But then I also know that there's some times we have to stop. And what's the guy's name? 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. No. Sometimes we got to resharpen the saw. Stephen Covey, that's it. Stephen Covey. Sometimes we need to sharpen the saw. Sometimes we need to stop intentionally so that we can re-energize, regroup, be restored, be more healthy in order to then be able to keep going forward. All right, I got a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to do what I did last week, so I'm going to just keep moving right now because I don't want to stop, and I don't want to leave some slides for next year. He wanted God to test him, reveal any anxieties. He acknowledged that God is the only one who completely knows him, both his good and bad, and he asked God to reveal the truth to him so he can confess and repent of any wrongdoing. Yeah, I think I gave you enough word. We can leave right now, huh? Yeah, we're not going to that. We're not going to that. Emotional health is the foundation of spiritual growth. It begins with being honest about our emotional state and seeking God's guidance. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Cesaro reminds us that emotional health and contemplative spirituality, when interwoven together, unleash the Holy Spirit in our lives. This means that if we want to be and experience the full presence of God in our lives, we've got to take care of our emotional health. You can't be emotionally broken down and on fire for the Lord, truthfully. It's hard to do that. It's hard to be productive. If I'm hungry, hurting, in pain, you know, in distress, depressed, and all that, how can I be fully functional for God and for others? And when I'm saying for God, we serve God by serving others, by doing things. So this isn't something mystical and twistical. No, this is, man, boots on the ground, relevant kind of stuff right now we're talking about. This is affecting every single one of us from the pew to the pew, from the pulpit to the pew. Thank you. I want to look at a couple things, 3 points that we ought to do to be able to help us. First of all, we got to recognize our emotional state. Whenever you're going somewhere, the first thing that if you're on the map, you got to figure out where you are and then figure out where you're going, right? And then you can get the path, you can get the way there. But you got to know where you are. Got to go know where you are. I can't be in Texas trying to get directions somewhere else, and I don't even have a starting point where I am. Nowhere to lead me there. So I got to know where I am. I got to recognize my emotional state. And this is tough work sometimes. I don't know about you, but our emotions are... And sometimes I don't even understand myself. I was visiting with Ed on Friday, and he was talking about his heavy breathing and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, sometimes when you get anxiety or you have one of those type of episodes, it's hard. There's not much you can do. I remember when I had that epinephrine shot, and all my body was just racing, and I was trying to breathe. And no matter what exercises I did, no matter how many, I mean, everything in my body was just accelerating and operating at a higher level and all of that. It wasn't really much I could do at that moment and just let it kind of work its way out. But we got to recognize where we are. We got to recognize where we're going. We understand that all of us have emotions. And we got to be honest with ourselves and really look within ourselves as to where we are. And have tough conversations with yourself. How many of you have tough conversations with yourself? Have little powwow meetings with yourself. Stop and think. I see some hands over there. And whether you raise your hand or not, and if you don't raise your hand, you should. You should. You should stop. You should think. You should look to God. You should look within. You should, you know, oftentimes I bring up the scripture of David sitting on the throne, you know, saying, Lord, what is my house? What is my father's house that you've brought me this far? You know, him sitting on this throne, pretty much saying, look, I'm a nobody. Look, Lord, what you've done for me. But he's only doing that because he's sitting down for a moment and thinking and reflecting and thinking backward and then looking at the present and hoping for forward and all of that. And that's what happens in moments when you can just sit down and rest in God's presence and talk to him, think about him, think about self, think about our purpose. I mean, you see how all of a sudden things start becoming clear as we really start having conversation with God and conversation with self, and doing the work, looking into the mirror and saying, look, here's some areas in my life that if I want to be better and more effective as a Christian, then these are some things I need to start doing differently. These are some habits. These are some attitudes. These are some ways that I need to change. And it's only by assessing where I am right now, recognizing what God wants me to be, recognizing where I'm at now, that I can even get there. Second is to seek God's guidance. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Don't be anxious about anything, he says. What is this anxious? What is anxiety? You're fretting about something that probably hasn't yet happened yet. You know, maybe it could, maybe it couldn't. Maybe something has happened and you're really anxious about it. It's going to get worse or whatever it might be. Whatever the scenario is, he's saying, don't be anxious for anything, but instead, replace that anxiety with prayer and petition. Taking it to the Lord, asking God, and I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, there have been many times when I have been weighed down with something, and I've been trying to carry it all by myself. And the longer you carry it, the heavier it seems to feel. And at some point, it gets so heavy that I just want to give it up. I just want to let it go. And so, but what it's saying is, he's saying, look, instead of just carrying that weight by yourself, there's a song we sing, take it to the Lord and leave it there. We fret. And this is a problem that we often have. We want to handle it. I like to handle stuff. I like to get stuff done. Matter of fact, truthfully, I'd rather just do it myself. That's a struggle. That's a struggle I've had. I do it myself because I know how to do my time. I know how to get it done in my way. And of course, my way is the best way. So, you know, jokes, all right? But what we need to do is to not carry it ourselves, but to take it to the Lord. And not only to the Lord, because the Lord gives us helpers all around us also. But he wants us to primarily first take it to him. And I don't know about you, but there have been so many times where I have taken this heavy, heavy load, or what I perceive to be a heavy load. And I get down on my knees, and I give it to God in prayer. And when I get up, for some reason, the Bible says it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. As I've taken it now and I laid it at his feet, I wake up. I get back up and I know, look, God, you got it. You're stronger, first of all. You're stronger. You're more able to deal with it. And so I leave it in your care. And so as we're talking about this being emotionally healthy, we got to recognize that what happens is we try to carry it too much ourselves instead of, once again, sitting in the presence of God and recognizing that he's able to do it, he's able to carry it, he's able to fix it, he's able to open the door, he's able. There's the key. He's able. Me? Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. He always is. And so I go to his, I get down on my knees and I leave it there in his at his feet. And third, we need to embrace the idea of emotional health. We need to embrace it. And that's the whole reason. There's a stigma sometimes about getting real about ourselves. There's a stigma sometimes about being a Christian. Yeah, you know, if I've been in Christ for 20 years, I ought to look a certain way, right? And If I've been in 20 years, I ought to be at a certain place and all that. And so sometimes what happens is we are really good hypocrites. Yeah, I have some people put their heads up finally. All right. Amen. He said, what? What do you say? We're really good hypocrites. It's easy to put the clothes on. Easy to do certain things, and yet we know that there's so much more. There's so much more depthness that God has for us. There's so much more. I was thinking about talking to my sister as we were coming in this morning, and I was talking about the icebergs. And you know, the iceberg only has about 10% that's visible. 90% of iceberg is underground. I mean, is under the water. And sometimes we're like the icebergs. You know, I mean, people can see just a portion of us, but God sees all. And we know that there's more than what we're showing. And we know also there's more within. And sometimes there's a battle. And I was having this conversation with someone this week. There's a battle that is going on in our minds, and this is really ties into what we're talking about emotional health, because there is a frustration of being a Christian and being in the world. There is a fight and a war that's constantly going on in our lives, and we're right here in the middle of this thing, and at some point we have to get to this thing called surrender, right? We're talking about the surrender earlier. Surrender, the sacrifice, give it all up. Give it all up. And when I give it up to God, I'm freed. I'm a little bit lighter. You know, I'm better because I've given it to him. Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from their troubles. Proverbs 17, 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We've got to brace emotional health, because if, once again, I'm just make the statement again, I'm repeating stuff, no problem. Our emotional health, we're only going to do as well as we feel. And so it's important. I'm going to just leave you with this this struggle that has been happening to me lately. You guys know I've been having some back issues and things of that nature. And so one day I was here, and we were going to add some more tables to the Wednesday night Bible group. Is really growing, and sometimes we have people sitting on the other side. So we said, you know what, let's put some more tables and chairs up. And of course, me as the doer, what did I want to do? Start grabbing some tables and chairs, and let's go. And Kamal said, stop. Stop, Domingo. I said, what? I got it, or I'm gonna help you, but we're gonna do it together. You don't just grab that table by yourself. I said, well, I'm all right, I feel good now. Yeah, but that's what happens. You feel good, right? You feel good, and then you keep pushing, and then you keep pushing, and then all of a sudden, it just takes that one little thing, right? So if y'all been noticing me around some of y'all that I've been talking to, I've been like, you go ahead and get that. You got that, you know? Look, I feel like I am still strong. I was always an athletic type of person and all that. So it's weird for me to do that. Just like, go ahead. Matter of fact, I'm stopping myself from going certain places sometimes because of this understanding, this going, you know what, I've got to protect myself so that I can be fully functional in order to be able to do the work that God has called me to do. And if I mess up over here and now I'm laid up, I can be no good over here. So as much as I want to get in there and want to do this, I got to say, well, I got to look at the big picture and go, well, no, I'm going to have to say no to that, because there's a bigger purpose. There's something else that I'm trying to fulfill, right? And I've got to be healthy for that. And in the same way, if we're going to be the light of God, if we're going to be the ambassadors of Christ, if we're going to be the ones taking and carrying this message out, this lost and dying world, we've got to be healthy in order to do it. Sick people, you know, that are depressed and what you call it, trying to talk to somebody else that's hurt and, you know, all that. God uses us. I mean, we're all sick in some sense, you know, in that way. But you understand what I'm saying. We want to be at our very best to be able to provide God the very best. And in order to get there, in order to do that, it starts with the little things. We're going to talk about some of these little things we can do. We won't be today. I'm done. I'm getting off. I'm just planting some seeds for the future, you know, for the future ones. But I want you to see how important this is. God thinks it's important because God wants you whole. God wants you whole. Psalm 147, 3 says he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Psalm 34, 17 says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Won't you come and be whole, be made whole today, even on today? God wants you whole body, mind, and spirit. Christian, if you're already in the body, he wants you whole. He wants you fully, fully engaged, fully functional, fully energized to be able to do the work that he's called us to do. That's his desire for us. And one of the key things that come to me, one of the stories in the Bible of Jesus and the demoniac, the man with the legion of demons within them, in the Gadarenes, and here he is. Remember his state before Jesus Christ. Where was he? He was in the tombs. What was he doing? He was cutting himself. He was crying out. The people put fetters and chains on him in order to try to bind him, and they couldn't. He would break the fetters and chains. He would be crying out. He'd be in misery. He'd be all of that. He was the crazy guy in the town that was living among the tombs in the cemetery. And yet, when Jesus comes, he runs to Jesus, and Jesus sees the real issues in his life, and he casts these legions of demons out, and he restores this man so much that finally when they saw him sitting and clothed in his right mind. That's right. God's able to do that to you also. No matter what's going on, no matter what kind of inner turmoil was going on in your life, God knows exactly how to fix it. He is the great physician. Even the doctors that couldn't help this Gadarene demoniac, all the people that tried to control him in certain ways and all that, they couldn't. But guess what? God can. God could. And God did. Jesus cast those demons out, made him whole, and he desires to make you whole today. Whatever you're struggling with today, whatever your need is today, he can make you whole. He wants to. Will you come to him? If you haven't put him on in baptism, that's your first step. If you're already a Christian, you come to God, pray to God, ask him for forgiveness. Let's get some help, get a plan together. Come see someone in leadership so we can get a plan together on how to fix whatever is hurting. But for you who don't know Christ or yet have not yet surrendered to him, won't you do so today? He wants to fix you. He wants to make you whole. Won't you come to Jesus today? We're in pieces. All of us have been in pieces, but God desires, like the puzzle, to put us together and put us in arrange us as into the image of Jesus Christ. Won't you come today to be made whole? Won't you come and allow him to fix you? If you're ready to do so, Jesus, all you got to do, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Are you ready to turn, repent, confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus Christ as Lord, and be plunged in the water grave of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're ready to do that this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?